Welcome once again to another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today. Live from West Virginia University, it's the only syndicated show that sits squarely at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and modern marketing practice. With your host today, Matthew Cummings. Hey, Matthew.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. He's taking headshots of me, snapshots, and sending it to me here on Skype here. I didn't know I looked that
sharp.
The only way
I could get that keyboard working.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's great to be back and hosting another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today from all of us here at the College of Media at West Virginia University. We have another great show on tap today, and it's focused on a marketing communications area that I think is still relatively new to most marketers, and that is programmatic media buying. I feel that we should have had some music or something there during the introduction. You know, we've been hearing about programmatic for a few years now, but I think it's safe to say that not a lot of marketing communication specialists have deep experience or expertise in the space. So today we'll discuss how programmatic media leverages data and technology to allow advertisers to identify the exact targets, even down to a one-to-one level in some cases, they are interested in reaching, and how it allows us to serve that user a specific ad as they visit specific websites. Get a high-level understanding of how programmatic works. We'll walk through its evolution and what marketers should consider when developing a programmatic media strategy. There's a lot there to unpack, so here to help us sort it out is Zeitel Haviland, SVP at VaynerMedia, leading digital agency with an impressive client list and expertise in this space. Zeitel has more than 20 years of experience spanning traditional paid media planning across broadcast, print, and digital, and more recently has really been at the forefront of programmatic and helping clients embrace digital marketing through both a surgical, and those are her words, and strategic test and learn approach. She also teaches the programmatic media course, appropriately enough, in WVU's Data Marketing Communications Master's Program. Thanks for being with us, Zeitel.
Thanks, Matthew. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Let's dig in. I want to start with a pretty basic question.
By the way, that was quite an introduction.
I'm out
like
of breath.
You
need to accomplish less. I want to start with a pretty basic question. It's basic to you, but I think it's something that a number of listeners out there may be wondering. Just what is programmatic media buying, and why are marketers finding this so valuable?
Sure. So at its core, programmatic is the use of technology to buy and sell digital advertising. So it's pretty simple when you think about it. It takes out the human element, which is sort of sad,
sure.
But there are still many humans still involved with it. But it basically leverages technology and data, which at this point in the digital ecosystem, data has really become our currency. There's a lot of websites out there. People don't necessarily have to pay for them, but what they're exchanging is their data for the use of these open platforms. So programmatic really takes into account some really heavy lifts on the technology side and marries that with data components to, as you mentioned in your opening, it really enables marketers to purchase digital media down to the exact person. We're able to identify specific consumers on the web and deliver a very specific message. It can be down to the geography. It can be based on demographics. It can be based on day parting. There's a lot of different approaches. But at its core, it's basically the marriage of technology and data.
And sounds like that improves relevance on the consumer side. Obviously, you're going to be served ads that are more relevant to your user profile, and also presents a lot of exciting possibilities for marketers as well. And really, you know, as I thought about this topic, it addresses a number of the concerns that the marketers have had over the years. Right? Everybody says, you know, I know that marketing works, but I don't know what is working. And so this really has addressed a lot of those fears in terms of targeting and attribution. So how has programmatic media evolved since its inception?
Sure. So it definitely takes out of what we call in the advertising business, what you would call waste. So you'd buy a lot of television and you knew that you were getting a fair amount of your target, but, you know, I don't know exactly how many, and I don't know how many more I'm getting that I don't want. So the programmatic element is really, to your point, that one-to-one. And so it's evolved so significantly since its inception. I mean, really, this has been going on for about 10 years, but it really ramped up over the last, I would say, 5 to 7 years. Programmatic was actually born out of a necessity to automate some of the things that were going on within digital, because it took such a heavy lift from the human element to be able, there were so many websites, there were so many more that were coming out at the time, and there was a lot of inventory that publishers had that was real estate that they could monetize. So this desire to monetize it also came with the fact that, you know, then I would have to pay a salesperson, or then I have to pay, then marketers on their side, I have to pay an agency, or I have to pay for more bodies to be able to do this. So it was born out of necessity, like many, many inventions. So really, at its start, programmatic started as, if publishers had remnant inventory that tended to go unsold, they would bring it to the programmatic platforms that were starting to crop up. They were these, and the really interesting thing about programmatic is it was actually leveraged from financial trading technology, if you think about it that way, because it's all based on bidding. So if you were buying and selling on Wall Street, you would be using a specific type of technology. That's sort of the center of where programmatic started. The marketing and advertising industry embraced that, started to monetize it on the advertising side. So publishers would bring their remnant inventory and say, can you please sell this to someone? And maybe it'll have value to them. And there were small tests that were done that leveraged some of the data that advertisers had. And that grew from there. And it started with just display banners and here and there. And that started to grow. And they saw marketers starting to see a lot of value in it. And then it started to expand into other platforms or other formats, including like video. And now we're in the age where almost 80% of all digital display is sold on the programmatic programmatic basis. Native advertising is exploding. There's a lot of opportunity for modular type of native where it builds assets and to fit the surrounding content. So it's really become very fruitful on everyone's part. In addition to what has been able to, you know, grow from a format perspective, it's also grown from an industry perspective. Years ago, when this technology didn't exist, we didn't have a need for data providers or ad tech stacks like Oracle brings at the table. They didn't exist. We didn't need them on a day-to-day basis. And now they're multi-billion-dollar companies that really keep the advertising industry humming.
So it started out as selling remnant space, an extra real estate, if you will, and now it's yes. It's become a platform for advertisers to really bid on premium real estate, if you will, correct?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways that you can actually purchase programmatic. There's nuances, as they say, to what programmatic consists of. Really, most of the inventory that's sold programmatically is what they call on the open exchange. In the most traditional sense, what programmatic is, it's impression based. Advertisers go in, they want to buy impressions in any format, whether it's display or video or any of those other types of formats, and it's a bid model. It's whoever's willing to pay the most for a specific impression. But when you put data into the mix, I may be willing to pay more than somebody else if I know, to your point, that it's exactly the right person at exactly the right time, and I know that they're going to land in a sale. So even though I may be outbidding someone, I'm probably still getting a bargain because its effectiveness is driving up my ROI. So open exchange is really the biggest, I would say, piece of the pie. And then there's other things that you would build upon, which is things like preferred inventory. To your point, you can now also buy like the stuff that's premium, homepage takeovers or expandables or any one of those like better, bigger, better, faster units. And that's something that we would call like a preferred inventory relationship. And then there's things called private marketplace, which is just, I want to go to a partner like a Condé Nast, and I only want to buy from Condé Nast, and I'm just going to to transact with them programmatically, and that's what that's another type of programmatic. So that's another way it's evolved. It's not just the Wild West bidding on, you know, these impressions and getting rid of the waste. The industry has really improved in terms of building out specialties and specializations.
So I'm sold. what do marketers need to consider or evaluate when they're developing their programmatic media approach? How do you begin?
So the first thing I tell everyone is, what are the goals? What do you want to try and do? It enables marketers to execute a number of different types of goals. It can include retention. So do I want to retarget someone? Or penetration? Do I want to prospect? Do I need lookalike targeting? If I know who my consumers are, can I take the data that I have from them and build another type of consumer, build the same type of consumer out of new people? Can I do creative testing? So what are the goals? That's the first thing. Have that very clearly stated. Sure. But then also, how are you going to measure success? Are you going to measure it based on sales? Are you measuring it based on, you know, one of the more antiquated ways is from a click-through rate? Or am I going to measure it for branding? If there's a video component, I'm going to look at completion rates. Mm-hmm. What are my KPIs? So what are the key performance indicators that I have to have within my measurement plans are really one of the key areas. And then really the crux of any good programmatic strategy is to have a solid data strategy. So what am I going to do with the data? How am I going to utilize it? Where am I getting it from? Is it my own? Who am I going to work with? Am I going to pay somebody to use their data? If I am, which one? Do I have specific needs? Because all of the different data partners, while they're very similar, because they're, you know, looking at all of the people out on the web, a lot of them aggregate very specific types of data. So things like a Nielsen may be better on people who purchase products from the grocery store, or an Axiom, or like I mentioned, Oracle. They may have specialties. You may be looking for a higher end consumer, so there may be a data partner that specializes in that. If you're trying to market a sports car.
So this data really flows in two directions, correct? I mean, you are looking at the performance of your campaign, your programmatic campaign, but then you're also taking that data, sending it back to the platform so that they can optimize and find better users, find better customers based on your preferences, right?
Absolutely. And one of the other things about programmatic that's really the key here is, by nature, is a machine. So it's constantly learning and it's constantly optimizing. So you start a campaign, you may set very broad parameters from a targeting perspective or from other pieces, but that starts to run, and then we start to see who starts to flow into your funnel. And do they all have the same type of qualifiers? And we see that now you've been in the market for 6 weeks, and we're skewing very young, so you must have a younger consumer component. Let's dig into that. Is there something to that? Who are those people? And then maybe we can focus in on them and drive some efficiency and build out that consumer profile. So it's the idea that programmatic not only enables you to purchase and sell inventory efficiently, it's also getting smarter all the time in terms of your campaign needs and what you need to do, what you need to accomplish. So it drives ROI in both ways.
So we're constantly communicating back, more people like this, bring us more like this. And hopefully at the end of the day, you know, we're able to deliver on that both for the consumer and for the marketer as well. Seidel, I want to take a quick break here now, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the hot issues in programmatic, as well as some key takeaways for marketers, and maybe some of the means for transacting programmatically. So we'll be right back, Paul.
And let's just take a break to remind you that, well, it's something we really all know. Marketing is more than ads and press releases. It really is. Marketing is about building relationships. And one place you can build relationships with other marketing professionals is at West Virginia University's upcoming Integrate Conference, being held in Morgantown, West Virginia, this summer, August 1st through the 4th. You can network and learn from industry leaders, speakers representing large and innovative organizations like Cisco and Facebook, as well as agencies like Campuchino and Fujikato. You can register today real easy. Just write this down, integrate.wvu.edu. That's the Integrate Conference being held in Morgantown, West Virginia, on the campus of the beautiful West Virginia University this summer, August 1st through the 4th. And after you do that, you might also want to just take a moment and check out the West Virginia University's online data marketing communications program, the people bringing you the show each and every week. It's the first and only graduate program to focus on data's impact on marketing communications. You can learn innovative strategies from award-winning faculty, like those featured today, as you shape the future of marketing. Learn more at DMC for Data Marketing Communications, dmc.wvu.edu. Okay, given the mystery around this subject here and the sci-fi nature of it, I thought we'd add a little music here to bring us back into the show here.
There's that music I was looking for.
There it is.
Speaking of award-winning faculty, Paul, we have one of those with us today, Zeitel Haviland, Data Marketing Communications Instructor and SVP at VaynerMedia. Want to jump back into it here again. Still a lot to talk about. What are you mentioned some of the platforms and some of the tools and technology a little bit earlier, but what are some of the different means of transacting programmatically, and is there a benefit to working with one over another?
As with anything, as things grow, they start to evolve and change. So there is a boundless amount of of ways that you can transact programmatically, and it all depends on what you're trying to accomplish. There's no one-size-fits-all platform to transact, and I'm thinking I'm going to speak in terms of the buyer on the buying side versus the selling side, which would be publisher side. But from the buying side, for a smaller advertiser, they may find value in working directly with a vendor like a MediaMath, where they can just go to a programmatic exchange and say, I need to accomplish this, and they would execute it for them. So Nothing wrong with that. There may be some at what we would call ad tax, where they're taking their tech fees and things like that out of the cost to transact. So there's a little bit of downside to that. But if you don't have the means to transact on your side, totally fine. If you're a larger scale advertiser, which has multi-billion dollars in the market, and at any given point you have a media agency that you're working with, they may have their own agency trade desk that you work with. And basically that leverages the programmatic technology. They build out their own platform in their agency, and they transact on behalf of all of their clients. And the benefit there really is from a knowledge base. It may sound, you know, like we just do a set it and forget it from a programmatic side. You just punch in some of the parameters and the machine goes. There's actually quite a bit of human element to this. There are specialists. A lot of people have come over, as I mentioned. There's a financial element to the technology that we use. There's a lot of financial analysts and traders that have moved from that industry into the advertising industry because of programmatic. So there's actually a lot of human element with hands-on keyboards that are monitoring these buys. But if you're talking about an agency trade desk, there may be hundreds of people transacting on a daily basis. And they're constantly getting learnings and seeing trends and building out theories and being able to cross-share knowledge. So there's benefit to that. Again, you'd probably be paying a fee to your agency, but nothing wrong with that if you're getting value out of it. And then there's also the idea that you can just go to what we would call an ad exchange, which is that sort of open real-time bidding platform. There's self-service. You go in, you do it yourself. It's efficient, but, you know, it does require you to have to, you know, manually do hands-on keyboards as well. But there's a lot of different ways that you can actually execute programmatically. What we tend to use in the industry, there's a fair amount of prevalence to working with what we would call a demand-side platform. They have a good reputation with advertisers. They provide a variety of inventory types. They have built-in infrastructure like self-serve platforms. So it all depends, again, on what your goals are and how you evaluate your partners and where you find value. What are your needs? Do you have a need for human bodies? Do you have a need for inventory? Do you have a need for long-term management? It all depends.
You know, I can't help as we talk here, but the visual keeps popping into my mind of the stock exchange, of Wall Street. and seeing, you know, people going around and transact and making transactions. And then there's also the do-it-yourself platform as well. So lots of different options in terms of transacting programmatically, if you will. And, you know, along the same lines in terms of the financial services industry, let's talk a little bit about transparency. This is a topic that comes up a lot here on the show, especially when we talk about data. What is transparency in this space? What does it mean, and why is it important?
Sure. So transparency has been on the agency side. It's always been a transparent to have an agency partner. You have to have a transparent relationship. And when programmatic came out, that too shined a light on how do we make sure that we know what's going on. It's automated, so do we have a line of sight into it? Can't see the people on the other side that are buying or selling, so there's that level of, that's a bit opaque too. So one of the things that we've talked about endlessly in our industry is ad fraud. I'm sure that you guys have talked about it on other broadcasts as well.
Mm-hmm.
But in the sense of programmatic, it can really come down to these nefarious partners. They use bots. They mimic human-like behavior, and then they're able to serve ads and skim the revenue that comes off of that. So there's a ton of partners in the market. IAS is one of them. Double Verify is another one, where it basically appends a tag to your advertising that can identify whether an impression looks fraudulent. Generally, it could be an impression that's coming from out of country that you're not interested in buying, or it can be something that's, you know, within an area of the website that you don't want to be on. The most common is that you want to try and block any placement in questionable content, things that you don't want to align your brand with. Those are some various forms of ad fraud. And on the transparency side, being able to have a line of sight into that. I mentioned earlier there were fee markup conversations. There's a lot of conversation around programmatic because you're bidding. You're saying, I'm willing to pay this amount. But do you really know from an arbitrage perspective how much the person that you're buying it from bought it for? So how much are they making on the deal? So that's not generally disclosed. So you have to have that level of information if you want to feel comfortable. The other thing is from the agency side, how much is your agency charging you? Are they taking part of the money that they've transacted? So that line of sight. And then some other things are really more in the frame of measurement and the transparency of measurement. How am I measuring this? What partners are you using? Am I going to be able to tie it all together into my larger ecosystem? But those are some of the main concerns when it comes to transparency.
I have to ask this question. I'm sure there are marketers listening today who say, you know, we really need to get into this space. But it's an uphill climb to convince the C-suite to invest in programmatic. What are the advantages that you would communicate if you were in their shoes to gain their investment in a more programmatic approach or shift some of those traditional ad dollars into this space?
Sure. So for one, I would say it's where all of the demand is and where all of the inventory is flowing. So from an actual pragmatic standpoint, it's where you're going to get most of your inventory. That's where it's all getting transacted. So we sort of need to get on the bandwagon and jump on board. But the value comes down to you will be able to have greater control over who you're serving ads to. You're going to be able to identify specifically who your consumer is. You're going to be able to optimize in real time because, as you mentioned, you're picturing Wall Street. Those guys and girls are sitting on those computers and they are seeing the trends in real time, and they're able to shift dollars immediately. And as I mentioned, it's entirely driven by learning. So the actual platforms are optimizing automatically as well. So it's all automated. Those are just some of the top line value. The other areas are, this is driving a great deal of ROI. It's an opportunity to start testing and learning a lot of different things. You can learn a lot more about your consumer. You can leverage already existing assets like CRM files or website visitor data. So there's things that you can actually have multiple purposes for that can help drive your business. So there's a lot of value there.
And that measurability is so exciting. I mean, it wasn't long ago that we were measuring by click-through rate, and now we're able to watch that consumer take the entire buyer's journey and follow them along in that process, and then attribute that conversion and that sale directly back to the ad that they were served originally. So, you know, really exciting from a marketing perspective, and especially in terms of demonstrating marketing's impact on the business. This has been a really great conversation. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up today?
I would just encourage anyone who's listening who's interested in programmatic to just start poking around, reading whatever you can. The industry has really great coverage. There's a lot going on in the industry right now in terms of data usage. So it's a really interesting component that's impacted programmatic. We all know that GDPR is here, and we need to sort of pivot some of our strategies. So that's had an impact on programmatic. So to watch the evolution in just a very short period of time has been very educational and interesting.
Great advice. Great insights here, Zeidel. Thank you so much for spending time with us here today. And thank you for listening to WVU Marketing Communications Today from West Virginia University. I hope you found today's episode as informative as I have. Until next time, take care.